Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I was watching a movie, a classic movie yesterday, a Coen Brothers classic movie. And I read an article, an interview in People magazine with Matthew McConaughey. Hey, Ellie.
All right.
How cool a guy. And they asked him what's his favorite movie and the movie he watches all the time. It's Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
And so Raising Arizona happens to be on cable right now all the time. It is on cable always, I guess.
For a long time, it was on Comedy Central, like every 12 hours. What channel did you see it on?
I watched it on a regular movie channel. I forgot which one, but I watched that.
It could be the movie channel.
That's right.
But also, I found something very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I found something extremely unique.
In that movie?
Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona. If you can get a still picture of him. He is Pony Boy.
Oh, wow. I never thought about
young
that.
Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona. If you shaved, now Pony's got a full beard now.
A glorious full beard.
But if you shave the full beard, he has a Nick Cage look to him.
We also used to.
He looked really trashy in Raising Arizona, though.
Because he was so skinny.
Yeah.
So skinny. You know what?
He's super skinny. That's why he looks like
trashy.
Pony.
No.
Well. Yeah, the thing about Raising Arizona, though, and now I know why Matthew McConaughey likes it, and Rob, you probably like movies like this. I hate movies like this.
I don't love that movie. I feel
it's
that I should like it.
Okay, do you know the kind of movie I'm talking about? It's an actor's vehicle where they just get to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The kids' version of it is Goonies, where they let the kids just do anything and they ad-lib.
Love it.
And they're all over the place.
I do
and
like Goonies.
Everybody, and you find that when you have a movie like that where the actors, I think really the actors are told just, hey, man, have fun with it. They end up, there's a lot of screaming that goes on.
Yeah, it's a kind of movie that leaves you feeling tired. You know, another Nick Cage movie that's like that is the second half of Honeymoon in Vegas, where he goes crazy and he's trying to chase after his girlfriend with... I can't think of his name right now, the actor that was in The Godfather. But he is chasing, in the whole second half of the movie,
Al Pacino?
No, he's Sonny.
Robert De Niro?
Sonny, who played Sonny in The Godfather.
James Caan.
He is chasing after
nice
him, and
thank
he
you.
Is just screaming, running, screaming, running, screaming, running. And you know what? There's only so much you can take of it. It makes
it's
you
screaming
weary.
Screaming and yelling, and I don't like
wearying.
Screaming and yelling. But if you want to see Pony Boy featured in a major motion picture, I suggest you you sit down and log a couple hours with Raising Arizona because it was a lot of fun.
I haven't seen him forever.
As opposed, Mike, to Nick Cage in Moonstruck where he is Jim McClure.
Or Face Off.
Yeah. He's John Travolta.
You know, there are lots of skinny guys that actually look like Pony.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is.
But that's your doppelganger.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, and the thing is, I'm not quite sure what to do when I run out of material. I just don't understand what to do.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Jen.
Yeah, it's 3 days in a row.
Good to see
three
you.
3 days in a row with my men. Hi, boys. Hi, Pony Boy.
Hello.
Matt. Thank you for the call last night.
Oh,
I just wanted
welcome.
To say thank you. Thank you. You were so sweet. You were so sweet to just call me and pick up the phone. It was very, very nice of you.
Well, Jennifer,
you.
What
thanks for the great comeback on that too. Thanks for helping the bit.
What are your office hours?
Yeah, how often are you there?
Well, when you're an assistant to Mr. O'Mara, when you're a personal assistant, you don't have office hours.
Oh.
I'm here all day and all night.
24/7.
Yeah.
Did you watch Raising Arizona with Mr. O'Mara yesterday?
I did not. I was sent home. I was sent home at the end of the day.
To your shack?
To my shack.
She lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I thought you had a...
I live in a home, fat boy.
I thought you had a home on Mr. O'Mara's property.
What?
And you seem to give the impression yesterday you had a home on property that was not quite as big as Mike's
house. No, I don't have a home on property.
No.
You make it sound like he has an estate. I know you like to make Mike sound rich.
No, no.
But he's not rich anymore,
What
ass.
I'm saying is
That's
that...
That's the way it goes.
Why do you have to remind him that he's not rich anymore?
And he's
Go
not
ahead,
even talking.
Go ahead, Brian Baruti Spiewak.
What I'm saying is that you implied your house wasn't as nice as Mike's.
No, I live in the neighborhood.
Oh, just up the street? Okay.
Yeah.
And all the houses are the same.
Would you like to, I'm not going to give my address out here.
Not going to give your what?
My address.
Do you have a husband?
I had a husband.
Yeah. Oh, he left you?
I had three.
Whoa.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time. Of course not. But they all unfortunately left this world earlier than they should have.
How old were they?
One was 43.
Whoa.
My second husband was 61. Yes. And my third husband was 90.
Oh, wow. You're trending up.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so sad because I'm so lonely. And now I just live with three cats.
Do the cats have names of your husbands?
Yeah. Heckle, Jekyll, and Speckle.
Speckle.
Heckle, Jekyll, and Speckle.
Who did you love the most?
Of the cats?
No,
or
of the husbands.
The husbands, yeah.
Probably Mr. Horowitz. He was probably my favorite. He was the oldest.
Yeah, I was going to say he was the 91.
He was the 90-year-old, and he was a wonderful man. Treated me very, very well. And, you know, I had a little early dementia, but other than that, he was fine.
Did he have a good go of it in the world of business before he married you?
Oh, he was enormously successful. That's why I'm able to pick and choose what I do today.
Did he woo you, or did you chase him?
It was kind of a courtship. He paid attention to me, to be perfectly honest with you. He said, Jennifer, you... Well, I'll see if I can duplicate his accent.
Right.
Jennifer, you are a beautiful woman. And then shortly thereafter, we got married. And then, unfortunately, it was about a month after I saw him eating the cat's food that he was no longer with us.
Did he shower you with gifts?
Nobody showered me.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, we'd shower together. It was romantic.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant.
We had a massive shower. He loved taking showers. We had one of those modern numbers with all the real super jets coming out from all the different spots.
Now, was it a...
It was marvelous.
Was it what you would call a modern shower, or was it sort of a sit-down shower?
It was a modern shower.
Because when you're 90, sometimes you need...
Now, I just described what kind of shower it was. That all the different jets, and then you said, sit-down shower, you see? It's like, I'm going down one road, and you're going down another. What's wrong with
you? Does that bother you, Jennifer?
Yes, it does!
No!
God damn it! We had a very modern shower, customized with all the jets. It was a Kohler.
Kohler.
Beautiful.
Kohler shower.
Wow. The Porsche of showers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If Mr. Horowitz could have taken his meals in there, he would have. I caught him in there one time with a piece of pizza, but that's when he was losing his buttons. He thought it was a piece. He thought it was a bar of soap. He had tomato sauce all over his face. Oh, we shouldn't be poking fun. If you don't laugh, you cry.
Do you have any children?
Cheese and tomato sauce all over his body.
Jennifer, do you have any children?
No, I'm. Oh. Unfortunately, I'm barren.
He's a robot. God, Oscar.
I'm not a robot. What? Please don't do that again, please.
That wasn't the bit.
I'm aware of how it sounds, all right? In fact, with all these helpers today, I think it might be a good idea to start the show.
Hi, Jennifer. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world, but once, any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again.
Ah, Mrs. Bialystock and Bloom, I presume. Forgive the pun.
What pun?
Shut up, he thinks he's witty. Good to see you again, Roger.
Max. He's wearing a dress.
No kidding.
What do you think, Mr. Bloom?
Where do you keep your wallet?
Light his cigarette. He likes you.
Didn't I meet you on a summer cruise?
I've never been on a summer cruise.
Huh. Quel dommage.
Chewing gum online, eh? I hope you brought enough for everybody.
I didn't know there was going to be so many.
Boy, is he strict.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
In the Middle East.
Dressed up like a $1 million trooper. Trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their mitts.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Pfeiffer Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online everywhere, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio and internet broadcast with the greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. And if you're here, you will too. Our phone line's always open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Tomorrow is Wide Open Wednesday.
Woo!
Tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be taking your calls at 888-920-6673. That will be September 1st, correct?
Yes, the first day of September.
Do it.
September 1 at 9 a.m. Eastern.
More like September Wonderful, Mike.
Yes, thank you. We will be taking your calls at 888-920-6673. When we're on, you can call us anytime. Our show today is brought to you by Vistaprint. Vistaprint is the best. This deal remains unbeatable. Right now, 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. Rob's got another one for us today. Share away, Mr. Spiewak.
I love this graphic, and obviously they designed this graphic, uploaded, put it on their own two-sided card. Mike, if you need audio and DJ services, all you need is J&J Events. Look at that cool logo.
Ooh.
Two DJs, two beards, two headphones. DJ and audio events, man. J&J Events. But what's cool about this is that it is a two-sided
card. Very cool
card. Vistaprint does it all.
Very, very cool. And Vistaprint cards make it easy and affordable to make a great first impression. Never been so easy to look professional. Totally customizable front and back. You can upgrade the card stock, add a fancy finish, or even raise print. Use a Vistaprint template or your own logo. Vistaprint will make you look great. Every one of us has designed a card at Vistaprint.com. And guess what? They're 100% user friendly and always look sensational. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create your custom card, and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Remember, TMOS, go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today, ladies and gentlemen. How's your hurricane forecasting, boys?
How's it looking down there for you?
It's looking like they don't know. That's what I would say. They don't
must
really...
Must be nice to tell an entire state to brace themselves.
Yeah, they didn't know yesterday, weird. So what do they know today that they didn't know yesterday? Any progress
still,
made?
They have probably had 3 or 4, maybe even 5 days of saying where it's going to go, and they're very confident about the track, and as each day goes by, they are more sure that this system, it's not even a named tropical storm yet, is going to take a right turn and head somewhere over the north of Tampa. That's what they're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tamper. And the thing is that being on the south side, the only thing we have to worry about is a ton of rain down here. So far it looks cool. Here's what concerns me. You have these tropical waves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they show you the wonderful little satellite imagery off the coast of Africa as each of these develops. And then would I be the only one reasonably certain they don't have a clue what's going to happen with them? I mean, they have a general idea what direction they're going to move
right.
in. But as far as what they turn into and where they ultimately go, it's still, in my humble opinion, a very inexact science.
Oh, that's why they have all the models. I mean, they have different models, and all of them have credibility. But when you have 5 credible scenarios, that's no good.
Right.
Because that's 5 scenarios.
How does the Tampa Gold Club brace themselves for a storm like this?
Yeah.
They stock up on whiskey all you want, and they make sure they have extra Windex in the janitorial closet, and they also make sure that all the men, that the vinyl chairs and seats are extra swabbed down for the afternoon rush. He's talking about a strip club.
Was that the club you went to? Is that the one?
No.
Which one did you go to?
Mike doesn't go to those clubs.
The Venus.
Mons Venus.
Mons Venus. Yes.
Many, many moons ago, Mons Venus.
Thought that was a natural history museum.
The guy that I went to this place with was we had, I think, a group of like four or five guys. And the guy that was protesting the most, all I know is like 2 hours into the evening, there he was with Brigitte Nielsen on his lap for most of the evening. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, but that was for a Super Bowl, right? You guys had gone down?
You know, no, I was there for maybe I don't know if I went there for a Super Bowl, but I know I went there on my own coming down here one time with a boys golf trip.
Yeah.
Where we flew into Tampa and got a lift down, took a car from Tampa down here to Fort Myers, specifically because we wanted to land at about 9 o'clock at night and then have a little fun with the ballet in Tampa. That's what it was. But that's long ago.
Isn't that club gone? Wasn't there some sort of
no idea.
Shady
I no
business, idea. I believe? And well, I know that's odd for those establishments.
If you think about it, that would be the best place to hunker down in because there are no windows.
Yeah, there are no windows, and you really never have any sense of time. And you don't really have any idea.
Lots of poles to hold on to if the wind blows through.
Load-bearing.
Yeah, exactly. I know that those places are only the classiest kind of joints, though.
Well, that's a good joint, yeah.
Tampa, if I'm not mistaken, even this day, people rave about that scene down there.
What people?
I don't know. It's been
Tampa?
Long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember as a kid people would talk about it.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that you want to hang out with the people that are raving about a strip club, comparing them.
Well, no, you like that kind of art form.
Of course I do. But you keep it quiet. You don't rave about it.
Right.
You don't go out screaming.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, I'm talking about just generally, hey, have you ever been to the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas? And then you say, yes. And then they start talking about places in Tampa. And I said, I didn't know Tampa still had a scene.
Spearmint.
What's the place that's cool in Vegas?
Spearmint Rhino and that's the number one seat in the world for me. That's all I know. You went there. There was even on like the afternoon shift. This is as of 3 years ago, maybe. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Right.
I remember I looked at a buddy and he said, let's go. And I said, where? He said, the Rhino. I said, excuse me? He jumped in the cab. He goes, the Spearmint Rhino. And I said, all right, what is that? And he said, it's a strip club. And I walked in there. I said, 3 p.m. is going to be a rough time.
Right.
That's like afternoon, not even happy hour yet. And it was, they ship them in, Mike. Top shelf. Top shelf.
Well, all I know
around.
Is about Oscar having been to towns where the Super Bowl was in town and they brought in the extra talent.
Yes.
Super Bowls, they will bring in girls from everywhere. But that activity, unfortunately for me personally, that ship has sailed.
Yes.
And, it falls into one of my other philosophies that I don't talk about very, very often. But you could never get enough of what won't satisfy you. that's the way it comes. That's booze, food, drugs,
yes.
Women. It just doesn't work that way. And I think it's a young man's racket to a certain extent.
It is.
Although, I think with the right amount of Irish whiskey and the right amount of cajoling, and the free pass from Mrs. O'Mara that would never come, I would probably be...
A lot of variables there.
I could probably duck in again, but, you know.
Because we're close to one of the finest in the world right here.
You're across the street.
Oh,
from
yeah.
The Good Guys.
Oscar, when was the last time you were in the
Good Guys? Say 4 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Even you, it's not what it used to be with
you. Well, I would go again. I just don't have enough people. The last time I went, I had a few friends come in town, and they were like, let's go. I said, why not? Going there alone is creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Since you brought it up.
Going with friends.
Since you brought it up, would you like to know what endeared me to the art form?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is a story.
The buffet?
I may have told this.
The grilled cheese.
No, not a buffet. No, it's not the food. Although some of the places have great. They all say that, too.
They do.
It's got great food.
Stop by for the lunch buffet.
The calamari.
Like, oh, yeah. What a great steak. But anyway, the thing that... This is what happened. In Hartford, Connecticut, I think we probably had some places like this, but it was known when I was in my later years of my high school career.
Okay.
That above the state line in Springfield, Massachusetts, were the places that you would visit that were a little bit better to view. Had a little bit better view, if you know what
got
I mean.
It, got
understood.
It.
Right? Understood.
Which meant there were all sorts
fully
of
nude. Yeah,
there are all these different cover
subtle
up rules
Oscar.
That you have in different municipalities
sure.
where you have to cover up certain things, And then you have towns that are like, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
You want to pop in, it's naked.
Yeah.
And so We ventured north of the border. Yes. It was about a 30-minute drive to get to Massachusetts and to get to the town, the city of Springfield, Massachusetts, where we went to, I think the place may have been called the Springfield Show Bar.
Oh, classy. Classy. Thank I like you. The name.
And a
you
show
going
bar,
to the SSB?
The, all I know is this. The structure of this place, the first one of its kind I ever went to,
yes,
had a bar,
mm-hmm,
surrounded like a rectangular bar,
mm-hmm,
and on the other side of the bar, between the bartender and you, on the other side was the stage.
Yeah, yeah, classic layout.
In order for the fine performers to make it to the stage, they actually had to walk behind the bar, go up a series of steps, and that's where they perform. Everybody that's been to these type of places, you know what I'm talking about.
Sounds like a health violation.
It was, it was kind of probably a little mucky.
Yeah.
You know,
they probably had to pay a little money under the table to get that permit.
Yeah.
Those bar rags are cleaning the stage and they're cleaning your bar.
Oh, the bar rag. Go. This stripper smells like spilled beer.
So it was my first experience, and this is what got me. I'm sitting next to my buddy, and we're having a beer,
because mm-hmm,
it was 18 at the time. I was sure. Probably 18. I think I was 18 to get in this joint. And we're sitting there, and the performer came up and began to do whatever dance she was doing. And then she went into sort of a serpentine dance.
Yes. Oh.
And she lay down on the stage, and she made direct eye contact with me.
Huh?
And after she made the direct eye contact with me, I'm going to have to be very delicate when I describe what happened.
Yeah, it's a family show, Mike.
It is.
After that, there was a gymnastic activity that took place that
did you
involved.
Just wink at your wife.
Yes, he did.
Down there, she was jumping by the window. She heard me.
Timing.
No.
It's all about timing.
How the hell do you see that, Oscar? How do you see? I know I've got an HD camera in my face.
Your face is 2 feet tall in front of us, and you wink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or you're having a stroke, and so we were just making sure.
I'm not talking about adult clubs I used to go to, honey. Have a great day.
That's right. Bye.
Never know when that's going to happen to. So the thing is, she goes into this particular position.
Yeah.
And my focus immediately, based on the position, was in a certain area.
Yeah.
And
now it's the guilty wave.
Hi.
Is she still looking? Is she outside? She's not in the room.
Going,
is she?
She's going on a power walk. With
sure.
Yeah. So anywho,
start that
really
walk now.
I don't
honey.
Know. You know, with all of my skills,
perfect timing.
With all of my skills, I don't know if I'm necessarily capable of sharing this story with. All right, I'll just say what happened.
Okay.
Down there,
yeah.
in the parts area,
yeah.
She made it kind
talk?
Of move.
Oh, like a little she shop kinda, of horrors.
Sure.
The Predator. Yeah.
Nice.
Hello, Seymour. And I was just...
I've never seen that.
Yeah. First of all...
Like the movie Alien.
True Talent.
Well, when you say not even seen that, I've never seen a lot
never,
of those
I've
to
never,
start
I've
with.
Never seen that. I think that's...
But it was kind of... It was just kind of a... Well, it was kind of a flexing thing.
Still. Very impressive.
And I remember...
Must do
thinking
yoga.
About it when I was sitting there. I remember getting to the car, thinking about it all my way drive home. I remember sitting in the middle of class the following week, thinking about it then. And so when I got down to American University, and there was a big gulf between 2 years at Marist College where we didn't have that kind of activity. And then when I got down to AU.
There was a big was gulf like the, on that stage
and,
as well.
And then the first Saturday night, all the guys go, hey, we're going up to Good Guys. And I'm like, oh, sounds like a fun bar.
Sure.
And I didn't know. And that was the second time. And that was the second one of those kind of joints that I'd seen. So that was it. That was my big leap that I had as far as that form of entertainment.
The GMA recognized me. That was interesting. But I had
Good Morning America.
No,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is a Ian Spencer Christian,
the GM of the club across the street? Because I guess he used to be GM when we used to do promotions there for the radio station,
right?
And he recognized me. He said, "What are you up to these days?" And I said, "It's funny. We're across the street. I do the Mike O'Mara show now."
Mm.
And he's a big Don and Mike fan. He's like, "Wow, I didn't know that you were like everyone else didn't do this."
Is he the Asian dude?
No, white guy.
Oh, okay,
yes,
because right, there's an Asian dude in there.
And he said, "We should get some of our girls on your show." And I said, yeah, I'll talk to Mike about that.
No.
Thanks.
That ship has sailed,
that's
unfortunately.
A good idea.
I said, it's, you know, it's early. I don't know if that schedule would work out, but thank you. That seems like a good idea.
Well, you know, back in the Shock Jock right days, now. Having that type of entertainer on the yeah. show, it just, you know. I mean, we squeezed enough juice out of that turnip, and it just, there was never, pardon the pun, it was really, it just...
You know, it judging from really... your story, Mike, maybe they should have been squeezing the turnip.
How much of the audience do you think really was entertained by that?
There was a certain segment, I feel, that was extraordinarily entertained, yeah. but it was a
very small
segment. Yes.
Very, very small.
In my eyes, if I think about it now, if we could even just get Pony to go over there and get sound from them, maybe a trivia game of sorts that we can play inside.
Oh, now
you're talking.
Now, hold on.
That might be a solid,
now
solid.
Now you're talking.
That's
or maybe
material.
Send an intern in there, you know, which would be. How about, here we go.
Mac.
Stripper trivia.
That works.
Oh, I like that idea.
We could play stripper trivia right across the street. Yeah. This week's edition of Strip. We could make that a monthly event.
So he goes over, he would record on some off time, right? Some downtime.
Ooh, and you know what? We could do the rules like we used to do. Remember when we played Jabrilliance, where we'd ask the question, stop the tape, and then guess what they would guess? Were they going to get it right or wrong?
Yes. Right. Ah, like there that. We go. Mm. Boom, bam, brainstorming. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful idea, and it's a wonderful task for an intern. I think it's a marvelous yeah. idea.
Who's our most awkward intern?
Got to be back.
No yeah. game.
You know who I think really is ripe for this job is intern Adrian.
Yay.
All but Adrian, right.
Listen to that feeble off-mic yay.
Yay.
But the only thing about Adrian is he's such a bad speaker.
Oh, you know, my God. He can work on that.
He's no, because right no, because is he here?
Yes,
Adrian. Because you're yeah. the whole idea is to ask these dancers questions in you know in a really clear way. And when you do the thing like, okay, who's the president of the United States? You know, that's I just wanted you're gonna have to.
Well,
practice.
That's something we could work on him with off air, but also
or
I
on
think,
air.
I think that we won't make. We've been trying to talk to him for some time, Rob. You know how
and
it's
Oscar,
going.
I know. You will agree
yes.
that we are making a tremendous stereotype here. We are making a vast judgment yeah. because Oscar has the type of experience that I may have had in my younger days where Oscar would tell you that you bump into all kinds.
Everyone's saving up to go to med school.
That's right.
Some of them more intellectual than others.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. might be a fun little exercise.
It would be fun. Also, and to really think about logistically, when I was talking to the gym, I said, it's pretty early. Mm-hmm. You guys get off pretty late. I don't know if that's... And I remember when we worked on the radio, whether it was a rock station or a talk station, or right. we were out west, if anyone was going to be late, it was going to be the dancers.
Yeah,
dancers. They're always
yeah.
going to be late or mm-hmm. flake. And it's not because they don't care. It's just because they have that hot chick syndrome.
Yeah, and they can be late.
yeah. They've been
they
put up with their entire lives.
Yep.
So if we send
they're
someone
ready.
To them.
Getting ready.
If we send someone to them for this trivia
yeah,
and we keep
right.
it fun and light, mm-hmm. then I think it'd be fun.
And Adrian,
wear a
tie.
Idea.
Wear
I
a
will
tie.
Check with Mrs. O'Mara and I'll get back to you guys in February. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Rob, did you collect a little of your Gene Wilder fun?
Some of my favorite moments. Yes, indeed.
We're going to talk a little Gene Wilder when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, a special announcement for all of my D.C. area listeners. If you're heading down to the beach, make sure to check out The Mike O'Mara Show. We can be heard Monday through Friday on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. You've heard me talk about my Sleep Number bed and how great my sleep is every night. It's my favorite. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but you thought you couldn't afford one. Ask yourself, can you really afford another restless night's sleep? Can you do that? I don't think so. Here's great news. There's never been a better time to come to a Sleep Number store. Let me tell you why. All the beds are on sale during their biggest sale of the year. I love my Sleep
yeah.
Number bed.
Yeah.
You know, the durability is something I should probably talk about more. The thing is, it just lasts and lasts and lasts. It's the way it's built. It's the structure of the bed itself. It's fantastic, and you're going to love it. It's the only bed you need. My Sleep Number bed lets me choose the comfort and support that's just right for me. And Sleep IQ technology, which is optional on these beds, it tracks your sleep, so you know what to adjust to sleep better. My sleep number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Last night, my sleep IQ score was a 95, and I feel great. Hurry in now. During the biggest sale of the year, all beds are on sale, and you can save 50% on the Labor Day limited edition bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to crack your knuckles and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. They'll remember the crack your knuckles. They won't remember the important part. Tell them that I sent you.
It's very important.
I'm in their database, okay? It's that simple.
Database.
Database.
Right. Mike, I just sent you a picture if you get a chance. I'm not sure if your phone's with you. If not, no worries.
All right, let me just check.
Rob, you have it as well.
Oh, cool.
And Pony.
Right. Oh, here it
is. You know what I love about the fan club? And
there it is.
That's a thing of beauty. If you're on the internet, this will be our show picture today. Yeah. So just look at your computing machine, and there it is.
Adrian Garcia. Thank you for putting that together.
You know what that says to me? That says to me, Pony, grow your hair out.
That is so perfect. Good. I'm watching the movie, and I'm thinking about Pony the whole time I'm watching
Raising
it.
Arizona, awesome. Nicolas Cage, Pony Boy Bloom.
That's pretty good. Be Doppelganger.
There'll be some memes out today, Pony. Count on that one. Look forward to that. Rob, I'll let you take this because, nobody trolls celebrity death like Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
And I will tell you, how soon after his death did you have the Gene Wilder picture on your page?
Well, you know, it was probably about 2 hours. I found out about it rather slowly. You know who oddly informed me was, remember we used to work with Chris Madzik, Stimpy?
Yeah.
He put a post up and tagged me in it, and he said that Gene Wilder always made him think of me because I would say, dearie dear, and hello, handsome. And he said that I sort of introduced him to Gene Wilder, and so his death made him think of me, which I thought was very sweet and also made me think
And you're a big Producers fan.
One of my favorite films of all time. But, you know, he got his start. I think he was very memorable in Bonnie and Clyde. He had, like, maybe one or two scenes in Bonnie and Clyde.
Since I go back to that movie, I'm the oldest one in the room, will tell you, it's truly astonishing to realize when I was reading about his career that was his first film role.
Yeah.
And you go back and you look at it and he instantaneously, he didn't develop his character he was the Gene Wilder in Bonnie and Clyde that you would see in every movie he would do. And he was such an incredible presence on film that's all you needed. And Mel Brooks recognized this, and he just went on to do great things, but he was always the same
guy.
It's
like he sprung fully formed. He was Gene Wilder from the word go.
Yeah, he didn't transform himself into something. When he's in the back of that car, and they're being kidnapped by Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty, and they're driving along, and he's doing his thing where he's scared the Gene Wilder bit. And just really... I mentioned this when I put this on my post yesterday, that I don't think there are many guys that lent themselves more. Their body of work lent themselves more to radio drops than Gene Wilder with all the different movies he had. And they were always funny on the show. The best, in my opinion, being Young Frankenstein.
Well, we'll get to Young Frankenstein, but you mentioned the fact that he had the greatest way because he was such a nebbish, such a nerd when you saw him, quiet, introspective, that when he raved out, it was twice as funny because it seemed unexpected. Here's one of my favorite parts of The Producers where Zero Mostel takes away his blue blanket.
May I speak to you for a minute?
Go. You have 58 seconds.
Well, in glancing at your books, I noticed that in the columns...
You have 48 seconds left. Hurry, hurry.
Oh, I glanced at your books. I noticed in the...
28 seconds. You're running out of time.
Mr. Bialystock, I cannot function under these conditions. You're making me extremely nervous.
What is that, a handkerchief?
Nothing. That's nothing.
It was nothing. Why can't I see?
My blanket! My blue blanket! Give me my blue blanket! I'm sorry. I don't like people touching my blue blanket.
Another thing about Gene Wilder, he was so great in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And that was a touchstone movie for me because I think for a kid's movie to be a truly great kid's movie, it has to have a bit of horror to it. Mm. It has to be frightening. And it scared the hell out of me.
Let's talk about that movie.
Okay.
Do you think you read a lot about that movie.
Yeah.
You read a lot about, like, true to the book, and maybe the author didn't like that version of the movie. But the movie transcended the book, and I know when the Johnny Depp version came out, it laid there for me because what Gene Wilder brought to that role was that wonderful disdain for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got
it's
Johnny Depp.
It's not a lovey dovey movie
no.
at all.
No, and then you got Johnny Depp going, "Hi, little girl," you know, playing it in this weird little way. Gene Wilder played it in such a way where the kids were so beautifully cast as being awful human beings. And then you had Gene Wilder, who just had this incredible malice for the kids, and that drove the movie. I can watch that movie today.
Holds
in its
up.
Entirety.
100% holds up.
He carries it, and you know he's fantastic. I love that. You know, I don't understand why there's always this discussion around Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because that movie is...
stands on its own. It stands beyond
classic.
The book.
It really,
and,
really is. And probably my favorite thing that he's done. You were going to say something?
Just because I come from a foreign family, and they didn't really care about the R or PG-13 or parenting in general when I was a kid, because they were working. My father, when we would rent a movie or watch anything in the theater, he would just take us with him. Didn't matter if it was, again, Creepshow or...
Right. Cheaper than a babysitter.
Or
Mike.
Superman. And
French Connection.
The first Gene Wilder movie I ever saw was Lady in Red.
Good movie. With
Lady
Kelly LeBrock.
Red?
Yeah,
yes. That's right. Kelly LeBrock. Mm. Isn't
and I was younger, but I remember feeling like, this is a great movie.
And the schlubby guy meets the supermodel.
Right.
And, you know, and that theme would be revisited. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole Richard Pryor thing. I know they were pals and they did the movie. I thought they were a little too broad. And
I think you're right on two of them. I really like Stir Crazy.
See No Evil, Hear No Evil?
Not that one. And I like
one of my favorites,
Silver Streak, which is a good comedy mystery sort of amalgam. And they're not so much a partnership in that. I think they just happen to be in the movie.
Right.
But I think those are two that hold up.
I don't know. I always thought that the talent was misused.
How do you not like movies. This in Stir Crazy, Mike?
What are you doing?
I'm getting bad. Better get bad, Jack, because you ain't bad. You're going to get f***ed. You're bad. They don't mess with you. Hey, home. Get down.
Hey.
Do some of these.
Right on.
Here. That's right. That's right. We're bad. Huh? That's right. You don't want no shit either. That's right.
Darn right.
We don't want no shit. You understand? We don't take too much shit.
Damn right. No.
Is that where he's in blackface?
No. No. I'm trying again.
We don't take no. No. Great.
You better believe it, baby.
That's when they're trying to scare the other prisoners when they're brought into jail. And he says, "We don't take no S."
What was the movie with the big fat bald? Big guy in prison.
In jail. That's also Stir Crazy.
That's Stir Crazy?
Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. But I want to backtrack. The part in Willy Wonka, and Pony suggested this, I would have played it anyway, when he actually horrifies all the children on the boat ride.
Yeah.
And there is a weird, almost psychedelic montage.
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible. I mean,
it's
really
wonderful.
Goes
I love
full
that.
Psycho on it.
And here is the poem from the boat ride, which to this day brings me great joy and great fear.
There's no earthly way of knowing.
He's singing.
Which direction we are going. There's no knowing where we're rowing. Or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
Make him stop, Daddy!
Hooker, does he go far enough? Quite right, sir. Stop the boat!
were there.
That's how it ends right there.
And the thing is, if you, here's what's great about that. That is supposed to be a kid's movie.
And it has that horror element that scares the hell
and
out of kids.
And nobody gave an S about it. I mean, they're complete. I know there have been documentaries done about the making of that movie, but they didn't care.
No,
they
you're
were
right.
Doing what they he was just true to this little vision. And, you let the actor be the actor. And I don't know.
Did you read the thing in the obit about his one condition of playing Wonka?
No.
It was his idea that when he makes his entrance, he pretends to walk with a limp,
right?
Then falls and stands up because that way, he said, as an actor, he established on his entrance, you could never tell if Wonka was telling the truth or lying. Okay. And that was his own acting trick.
I didn't know that was his own thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. That was a super cool. And by the way, in that movie also, the casting of the kids.
Perfect.
They got the greatest brats that they could ever possibly find. Probably not hard to do in show business.
If you see the one of the most recent documentaries making of Augustus Gloop does his interview in Lederhosen as the adult, which is great. And if you ever meet me in person, I want to say this real quick. Ask me the most horrifying tale of the production of Willy Wonka, I will tell you. But not right now. It's not
really?
It's not suitable for air. I'll tell you after the show.
About Augustus?
No, just about the production of the movie. It's something that'll really, it'll knock you out.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You save it for a bonus show, maybe?
Yeah, I'll save it for a bonus show. It doesn't have much to do with Gene Wilder, but it is definitely worth, this week's bonus show, I'll tell it to you.
All right.
We haven't even mentioned the Mel Brooks collaborations, and that some of the greatest clips for radio are coming up as we pay a little tribute to Gene Wilder. As 2016 continues, we lose another great one, and we'll talk about Gene Wilder and maybe mention a little Gilda Radner, too, when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's time to download the TMOS app. It's the easiest way to have access to all your favorite shows and characters on More Broadcasting, like Oscar Santana.
We don't need no stinking podcast. Oh, no.
Rob Spiewak.
No, God, play his name, Ruben. The show is a...
The man himself, Mike O'Mara.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Immediately, immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
How about Todd Moore?
Little bastard shot me in the ass.
Tony Perkins.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
And let's not forget Gary Stein.
It is my privilege to extend to you a laurel and hearty handshake.
So why haven't you downloaded the TMOS app yet? You do it for Randolph Scott.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Boll & Branch. Slept on them last night. I love my Boll & Branch sheets. I love them, love them, love them. It's easier and more affordable than you might think. All you need to do is change your sheets. I love Boll & Branch. It'll be the new standard of comfort you'll measure everything else by. Boll & Branch has reinvented sheets. And what are you doing? There it is. Okay. Yeah, it's like hardly I can hear it. I mean, you're playing with the music all over the place.
We got the tech issues today. Yeah. My apologies.
Oh, very good. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, Boll & Branch reinvented sheets and bedding with the sole purpose of making. I hear, I'm doing this commercial. I hear.
It's coming.
You can get their products at one place, bollandbranch.com, where you're only paying for quality sheets, not department store overhead. Amazingly luxurious 100% organic cotton sheets for a couple of $100. Visit Boll, that's B-O-L-L, and branch.com, and you can try them out risk-free for 30 nights. To get you started, Boll & Branch is offering our listeners $50 off their first set of sheets, plus free shipping. Just use the promo code TMOS. Just remember bollandbranch.com and the promo code TMOS. That's B-O-O-L and branch.com and TMOS. Glorious comfort awaits you. And literally was saying that to my wife last night. I said, are we on the Boll & Branch tonight? He said, yeah. I got rid of the, I won't mention the store. It's the store next door to me.
Okay.
I got rid of those sheets. I said, thank
Perhaps
God.
Perhaps a good move.
Nice not to be sleeping on cardboard and to be embraced by Boll & Branch. I truly love that.
No more burlap for Mike O'Mara.
Getting back to the whole Gene Wilder thing, here was, as soon as I heard about this online yesterday, the first thought I had was, I thought he had already passed.
Really?
Because I seem to remember when Gilda Radner passed away, he so completely fell off the radar.
Yes.
And there just wasn't a lot of Gene Wilder around. And, you know, I know he'd done some stuff after that, but it just didn't seem to me that he was the presence that he was when Gilda Radner was alive. Now, I go back and talk about Gilda Radner on Saturday Night Live and say that she is and will always be, in my mind, the single best cast member that Saturday Night Live
ever had. I think you're
right.
I think you're right.
She was that funny. And the fact that they combined their talents and had a love affair was just a wonderful story. And I thought that I made mention of that in my post. So the real putting on the map of Gene Wilder was when he collaborated with the great Mel Brooks.
Yes.
And I think that's when things really changed. And was that after, that was very shortly after Bonnie and Clyde, right, that he hooked up with
he
Mel
actually
Brooks?
Knew Mel Brooks before that. They met okay. because he was in a Broadway show with Anne Bancroft, who is Mel Brooks' mm-hmm. wife. And they, I believe the story goes that when he met him backstage at that play, he was kicking around an idea for a show called Springtime for Hitler. And then a few years later, he came back to him and said, "You thought I forgot you. Well, it's going. All you have to do is meet Zero." And he and Zero Mostel hit it off, and that's what became the producers.
The collaboration of the producers and then Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
Did you know, and this blew my mind, the release, they started working on Young Frankenstein when they were collaborating on Blazing Saddles. Did you know those two movies came out 10 months apart?
Wow.
Can you imagine?
And Blazing Saddles is still your favorite comedy,
I think,
right?
The funniest movie ever made. And what we've done here is, so far we've focused on several great scenes where Gene Wilder raves out. He screams. Mm-hmm. But he can also play a scene just as funny, low-key. Okay. And there's really not many better sequences. Well, first, let's meet the Waco kid when he's hanging upside down in a jail cell in Blazing Saddles.
Are we awake?
We are not sure. Are we black?
Yes, we are.
Then we're awake, but we're very puzzled. I think I'd better straighten myself out.
Need any help?
Oh, all I can get.
That's funny. And later on, when he is consoling Sheriff Bart, and another understated scene that is magnificent.
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny. Make yourself at home. Marry my daughter. You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know, morons.
Morons.
Morons. And as was referenced in that last promo that we played with that Marcus Serta had produced, the reason, and this is another great speech and another great understated performance that gets all the funny out of it, why the Waco kid retired from being a gunslinger.
Oh, well, it got so that every prairie punk who thought he could shoot a gun would ride into town to try out the Waco kid. I must have killed more men than Cecil B. DeMille. Got pretty gritty. I started to hear the word draw in my sleep. Then one day, I was just walking down the street, and I heard a voice behind me say, "Reach for it, mister." I spun around, and there I was, face to face with a 6-year-old kid. Mm. Well, I just threw my guns down and walked away. Little bastard shot me in the ass. So I limped to the nearest saloon, crawled inside a whiskey bottle, and I've been there ever since.
So that is Blazing Saddles, where he played the Waco kid. And again, I can't believe it. Less than a year later, based on conversations they had on set at Blazing Saddles, they made another movie.
I have one question, Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
And you, and I think this is your favorite
Gene
Wilder movie, right?
By the way, that scene that you edited, that's a real long pause where
yes.
he turns and faces the kid and says, "That's Frankenstein." This, to me, was his definitive role.
And a beautiful movie. If you've never seen it, just heard the tapes, it really merits watching because it's shot in the style of a 1930s movie. They fought, both Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder, fought to shoot it on black and white film. They said, "Well, let's film it in color and just release it in black and white." And they said, "No deal." it won't look right. They went to four different studios to find one that would give them the license to actually shoot on black and white film. It's a gorgeous film.
And the thing is, when you talk about the cast of that, when you talk Terry Garr, Madeline Kahn, Peter Boyle.
Yes.
And you've
got Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman. You got these. They're all comic geniuses. Yep. They're all people that are funny in real life. That had to be. And then you have Mel Brooks that's directing and
the ringleader. Yeah.
It had to be just, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be a crew member.
The energy.
And just be around those people doing that. And Cloris Leachman, another person.
Rob Brooker,
Truly spectacular.
When he first meets the aforementioned Marty Feldman, who is Igor, because he won't call himself Igor, he's Igor, and he has a horrible, horrible hunchback.
You were sent by Herr Falkstein, weren't you?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get along splendidly. Oh, sorry. You know, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm a rather brilliant surgeon. Perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump?
A personal favorite of mine, a very short one, and this one is he's doing a medical experiment with an old man, and he has him hop off the table, and the hop takes about 25 seconds because the man is so old. The frustrated Dr. Frankenstein.
Mr. Hilltop, would you hop up on your feet and stand beside this table? Nice hopping.
And of all the scenes, people, when they started posting their favorite Gene Wilder moments on Facebook yesterday, I took a little mental tally, and this is one that came up continuously. The secret passage and the candle from Young Frankenstein, where they figure to get to the laboratory, you have to go behind a magic bookcase, but you have to take the candle out.
All right. I think I have it figured out now. Take out the candle, and I'll block the bookcase with my body.
Now listen to me very carefully. Don't put the candle back. With all of your might, shove against the other side of the bookcase. Is that perfectly clear?
I think so.
His face totally flattened by the bookcase. So great. And when they make the monster in Young Frankenstein and they realize the brain in it is abnormal and the monster is literally a monster, he says, lock me into this cell and I will take care of the monster. You mustn't let me out.
No matter what you hear in there, no matter how cruelly I beg you, no matter how terribly I may scream, do not open this door or you will undo everything I've worked for. Do you understand? Do not open this door.
Yes, doctor.
Get me out. Let me out of here. Get me the hell out of here. What's the matter with you people? I was joking. Don't you know a joke when you hear one? Open this door. I'll kick your rotten heads in. Mommy!
And the last thing I'll play from Young Frankenstein, we referenced this in the show open, but it merits a repeat in a bigger format, I think. He fought for this. Mel Brooks said, this scene will not work. Gene Wilder said, this is a very important scene. We need to have this in the movie. And he said, if this doesn't work in previews, we'll cut it out. But Gene Wilder insists they shoot Putting on the Ritz.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Which is the best part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mesdames et messieurs. Damen und Herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town. Hit it!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper. Trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or Umbrellas in their mitts.
Can you imagine being part of the process where you are sitting there and Peter Boyle is coming up with that voice?
Exactly.
And I mean, I couldn't have kept a straight face when he does that.
No. And it's so marvelous because it's just like any scene in any monster movie where it's the presentation and you're not expecting him in a coat with top hat and tails doing a song and dance. Man about town.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It's great. And, you know, the collaboration was fantastic with that. And look, are they movies that are the greatest comedies ever made? I don't know. I mean, I think
so subjective.
When you sit down and you watch any great comedy, you have your moments in them that you remember.
Right.
And that one, what I was trying to make a point about was, I remember we played that on the old Don and Mike show again and again and again and again and again.
And it's still funny.
It was always funny. And then I watched the clip online today of that with Peter Boyle doing that voice, and you know, where he feeds him a treat like he's a trained monkey at one point. And so I had no idea that he had to fight Mel Brooks to get that actually.
And they
put
agreed
in the movie.
On most everything, which was what was weird about it. I have one last clip to play, and I think it's very appropriate and fitting. It's the ending of Willy Wonka.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
How did you like the chocolate factory, Charlie?
I think it's the most wonderful place in the whole world.
I'm very pleased to hear you say that, because I'm giving it to you. I can't go on forever, and I don't really want to try. So who can I trust to run the factory when I leave? But Charlie, don't forget what happened to the man who suddenly got everything he always wanted.
What happened?
He lived happily ever after.
As I said on Facebook, this one really hurts. It's sad to see.
Do you have the clip by any chance in your archives? The one where right before that, where he raves out on Jack Albertson.
Mr. Wonka,
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with news you may not need. But safe home to Gene Wilder, one of the great comic actors of all time. And, sad impact a lot of people. You realize when somebody leaves us like that, you know how people are affected by it. But you know what? You got his work forever, and you can enjoy all
that's
the
magical
movies that he did.
Yeah.
And if you ask me which one would I sit down with, I would sit down with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
You know, make a great double feature with Mommy Dearest over Thanksgiving.
We will take a break and come back with news you may not need and the formal obit of Gene Wilder right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'll take my time.
Welcome back to WDGH. This is Gowan, and I'm joined in studio with none other than the Pony Boy himself, Matt Bloom. Welcome, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only have time for a couple questions. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you're the senior producer of the Mike O'Mara Show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that a job as fun as I'd imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You've been up in your presence quite a bit as of late, and the fans seem to really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Given your impeccable timing and impressive vernacular, do you think your role will continue to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, we gotta wrap it up, but one more question. What's up with all those tentacles in anime?
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it, folks. Pony Boy Matt Bloom. You can hear everything he has to say, and, well, hopefully more, on The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Tracker. We all live in an era of smart cars, smartphones, smart homes. Technology's made everything smart until you lose something. That's enough to make smart people feel really stupid. Losing things now, a thing of the past, thanks to Tracker. Thanks to all the Mike O'Mara Show listeners who are sharing with me the fact that they're enjoying their new Tracker that they got through our website. Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, anything in seconds. Just pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to anything, and you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's that easy. And if you lose your phone, it works the other way, too. Just press the button on Tracker, and your phone will ring even when it's on silent. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item will show up on a map, even if it's miles away. I always think of getting the bad guy that took what you got. Very
get him.
Cool.
Get him, guys.
But no, this is like if you lose, you know, you leave something on a bench somewhere.
Yeah.
Never lose anything again, thanks to Tracker. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's T-H-E, tracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the code TMOS for 30% off. That's thetracker.com, code TMOS.
News.
Well, we've been talking about it for most of the show today. Legendary actor Gene Wilder passed away on Sunday. He was 83 years old. His family released a long statement which said the cause was complications from Alzheimer's disease, which he was diagnosed with 3 years ago. It was his decision to keep the diagnosis private, and it wasn't about vanity. He was doing it for the children. He didn't want the young Willy Wonka fans to worry about him. The family said, quote, he simply couldn't bear the idea of one less smile in the world. Sweet guy.
Yeah.
Gene's first movie role was as a hostage, as we mentioned before, in Bonnie and Clyde in 1967. He also did several movies with Mel Brooks, The Producers, Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, and four others with Richard Pryor, Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Another You. He didn't win an Oscar, but he was nominated for two. Best Supporting Actor for The Producers, and Best Adapted Screenplay for Young Frankenstein. I forgot that he was
a writer on that. Yeah.
He was married four times, most notably to Gilda Radner, who he was with in the 80s until her death from ovarian cancer in 1989. He got married for the last time in 1991 and remained with his wife Karen for 25 years until his death. So I think we gave him a proper little tribute on the show, and I think he deserved it too. So safe travels, Gene Wilder. Three strikes and Anthony Weiner is out.
This guy.
Did we talk about, or did I ever ask you guys if you watched the documentary?
We talked about it on air.
Yeah, we
on
did.
Air,
we mentioned it.
You know, judge not lest ye be judged, but when you look at this guy, the creep factor with Anthony Weiner is just so, the mental illness, in my opinion, that comes through the screen,
it's,
and I'm not a professional.
It's an addiction,
I don't want to die.
Yeah, I think
too
so.
Many people diagnose people with mental illness, but there are things going on with Anthony Weiner. There are demons that he has not addressed that are so obvious in this documentary,
mm-hmm.
and now this is more evidence. He's out of his house, probably his marriage. Huma Abedin announced yesterday that they're separating after Weiner was caught in another sexting scandal.
Mm.
Unbelievable. She said, quote, after a long and painful consideration, work on my marriage, I have made the decision to separate from my husband, Anthony, and I remain devoted to doing what is best for our son, who is the light of our life. Nice that she's still mentioning we and our. She's trying to do it for her kid. On Sunday, the New York Post accused Weiner of sexting a Trump supporter, of all things. God. He even sent her a picture of himself in bed with his bulge and his toddler sleeping next to him. He ain't right, this guy. He's got to get some help. But I don't know if he will. When you have the delusion that's significant enough where you're going to run for mayor and you're going to put yourself on TV after all this, I don't know. I don't understand what the chip is. I don't understand
There's wiring.
How the brain works.
There's got to be a wiring issue. The fact
some
that he would have allowed that documentary to be made.
Yeah, that's and that documentary is cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole time you're just sitting there going, oh, my God. Some say the relationship was in bad shape before this. You think?
Could be.
If you watch the documentary, you can see the pain.
She doesn't look happy.
No, she doesn't look happy. And then there's a reporter on CNN. I don't know which one it was, but I wish I got his name because he pissed me off this morning when I watched it. And he was alluding to the fact that will this finally result in Hillary Clinton cutting ties with Uma Abedin? And I'm like, what the F are you talking about? I mean, this woman is a victim if there's ever been a victim.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, all she's done is try to hold her head up and try to keep their family together. And you're, you know, you're talking politics and whether she's a liability. I don't know. It pissed me off, and I don't think you should be even discussing that. I don't think that's even
relevant.
For
someone who literally has done nothing wrong, how could they be a liability?
Weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see what happens. Sharon Osbourne talked to a British tabloid about Ozzy's infidelities, and it turns out they've been going on for years.
Shocking.
No.
Okay, Sharon. Keep it out there, Sharon. Keep the machine going, you know, any way you can. Here's the quote. The stuff that's been going on with my husband recently, it's been going on for about 5 years.
Yoo-hoo!
Now, wouldn't you think maybe a little longer than that?
Maybe. Could be.
But people are talking about it now. She says, we've survived everything. Drink, drugs, and now it's women. It was an affair with a hairdresser named Michelle Pugh. That brought attention to Ozzy's extracurricular activities, and Sharon called her a bunny boiler. That's a reference to Fatal Attraction.
Nice.
A bunny boiler.
Yeah, the double B.
That's pretty funny. Oh, what do you think of that date? She seems like a bunny boiler to me. Here's her quote. When you're effing a load of women, one of them is going to want more. That's the one that's going to get you.
Yeah.
So Sharon seems to have her head around a little bit of this stuff. I also think Sharon is not, it's not lost on her, the PR value of keeping the Osbourne name out there in the
news. Yeah.
So, if you want more details on the bunny boiler, tune into The View or The Talk boiler. Or whatever it is that ends.
That's right. She's a bunny boiler. The Princeton Review just released its annual list of, here we do it every year, biggest party schools of the year.
Nice.
And it's a proud day for Rudy Martsky and all the alum of the University of Wisconsin. Badgers, I salute you. We have a lot of listeners in Wisconsin. Let's say,
hell yeah.
We have a lot of Badgers that listen to this show. So
hey,
Badgers,
have you seen the Badgers bat room? I got a Badgers bat room.
Hey, listen, before we go to the party, you want to have a beer and a shot? The University of Wisconsin-Madison was named the biggest party school in the country for the first time in 10 years. Hey. That is,
they're back, baby.
Nice to know they're back.
The Princeton Review says their rankings are based on three factors: low personal daily study hours outside of class, highest usages of alcohol and drugs on campus, and high popularity on campus for fraternities and sororities. All things that parents should be proud to send their kids along.
Absolutely.
Here are the rest of the top five. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Show me West Virginia. Woo! University.
Not much else to do there.
Also, the Midwest representing again, University of Illinois.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, Pennsylvania, we're looking at you, Lehigh.
Yeah, Lehigh.
And not to be outdone in Pennsylvania, Bucknell.
Yay. Hey. Dark horse.
Brigham Young University in Provo was named the most stone-cold sober school in the country for the 19th year in a row. So if you
the Mountaineers, a proud tradition.
Yes,
West Virginia.
And VCU did not make the list because they're not recognized as a real college.
There we go. The State Fair of Texas is known for being the home of the greatest unhealthy food innovations in the country and probably the world. And 2016 produced another bumper crop of hot fried death. Here are five of the best creations that debuted in Texas this year, including the two that just won awards for the best foods at the fair. You want me to go 5-1?
Please do.
Number five. Injectable great balls of barbecue. These are beef brisket balls.
Ooh.
That are deep fried and come with a miniature injection device that lets people shoot barbecue sauce into them.
That's a good idea. That way you don't get all messed up.
Yum, yum. Number four, deep fried bacon burger dog slider on a stick.
Oh, put it on a stick and I'll eat it.
They put a small beef patty on a skewer along with cheddar cheese, bacon, and a hot dog on a roll, then dip it in batter and fry it. Oh, my God.
That you can eat.
Hello. Number three. Stop falling. Deep-fried pulled pork Funyun dings.
I was with you till you got to the word dings. What's dings?
They take Funyuns, stuff them with pulled pork, cheese, pineapple, and bacon, then they batter them and deep fry them. Yum.
Yeah, the cheese seems a bit much.
Thank you. Number two, cookie fries.
Where are my cookie fries?
Hey, cookie fries.
Where are my cookie fries?
You go get some cookie fries?
Get my cookie fries. Deep fried cookies cut like crinkled French fries and served with chocolate and strawberry sauces. They won the award for most creative.
That's so a beautiful idea.
So I guess
what,
their little fingers of cookie? Is that what it
is?
Well,
it sounds like they got like maybe a Pillsbury loaf, you know, like the slice and bake cookies you see at the grocery store.
Right.
But they've cut it in like crinkle fries.
Ooh.
Sounds pretty good to me. I like it.
And ladies and gentlemen, number one, here we go.
Yes.
You're not going to guess this one. I guarantee it. Fried Jell-O.
Oh, no.
How does it do?
Red Jell-O inside a ball of fried dough, almost like a jelly donut. It won the award for best taste. So once you get through that donut, you get that delicious. I'd try that.
Yeah.
I'd give that a shot.
Rob, the kids like it. Can you bring it in?
Hey, Oscar. You got it. Oh, Mike, we have a picture here of the cookie fries.
Cookie
and they
fries.
Actually come in a sleeve.
Ooh.
Like you would get at a McDonald's. It's a beautiful thing that you can eat.
And now a little something, something. A 39-year-old guy in Panama City, Florida, had to be in court last Thursday for drug charges, grand theft auto charges, and running a chop shop. His name hasn't been released, but we do know that he found out at the last minute that he had to give a urine sample.
Oh.
And he knew he wouldn't pass the drug test. So before he went in, he grabbed a radiator hose from his truck, filled it with warm Mountain Dew from a can in his glove compartment, and tried to use that. Unfortunately, someone realized it wasn't pee, so it didn't work. Maybe the carbonation had something to do with it. Apparently, even he knew it was a dumb idea because when they asked for his name, he identified himself as dumbass. Then we asked if he actually had said dumbass. He said, well, I am. He also spilled a bunch of the soda on himself when he was trying to fill the tube, so it looked like he peed his pants. The judge ended up revoking his bond over it, so he is in jail now. And,
sad,
of course, because this happened to happen in beautiful Panama City, Florida, we have, ladies and gentlemen, another Florida slogan of the day.
Oh, good.
So,
perfect.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Florida. Hurricanes, Zika, and more than enough stupid. Thank you.
Nice.
Just keep them coming, folks. We'll take a break.
He tested positive for cookie fries.
Cookie fries, yeah. Should have used Mellow Yellow. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Dusk till dawn.
Hey everyone, Intern Dotson here. You know, the one whose microphone is never turned on. You know what tomorrow is? It's Wide Open Wednesday. Starting at 9 a.m., the Mike O'Mara Show takes your phone call. Want to be a small part of TMOS? Do you have a great story for the boys? Make sure to dial 888-920-MORE for your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, Oscar, and even Pony. Wide Open Wednesday, starting at 9 a.m. That's 888-920-6673. And make it count.
Look who's here.
Hello, everybody. Hi, this is Jennifer.
Oh,
nice to have you.
Hi, Jennifer.
I'm here to talk to you about Amazon.
Good.
Hello, consumer. Yes, you see, we all consume. If we don't consume, we die. the trick is you must consume wisely. And the wisest way to consume is at Amazon.com through our portal. Okay? Amazon takes the hassle out of shopping for anything because Amazon has everything. And the prices can't be beat. Yeah. The fact is, anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a teeny tiny percentage. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best and easiest way for you to support the friends here at MikeO'MaraShow.com, okay?
Okay.
Remember, if you need it or want it, Amazon has it. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon, or click the Amazon button on our website, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and now walk tall. Be proud. And you did some good, and we thank you. Jennifer out, everybody.
It's good to see her.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. And Jennifer sounding extra robotic today. Let's open up the audio vault for Tuesday, August 30th, 2016. Take it away. Last day of August, Rob Spiewak.
I got three messages yesterday saying that Jennifer sounds a lot like Kathy, the lady who does
Kathy Griffin?
Yes, Kathy Griffin.
Oh,
that your
God.
Voice sped up sounds like Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of people, and what's weird is that they were all unrelated. Mm. So a lot of people think that.
Thank you, Anderson Cooper.
I love a redhead. There you go. All right, let us start with this. You know, a kid gets their wisdom teeth out and they get whacked out on some sort of drug that makes them not feel the pain, and then on the ride home they talk, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's those usually funny and charming, mm-hmm. but I don't know why a family would put this one out, because this is she appears to be a teenager. And you saw this pony?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. And she says that she's being choked by something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
If you have your wisdom teeth. You know, your airway might be being cut off.
Oh, but she's talking just fine. But the item that she says she's being choked with, Mike, this is not family friendly.
Why don't you go home? It's Friday night.
Yeah. I'm choking.
No, you're not choking. No, listen to me.
I'm choking.
No, come on.
I'm choking on a big fat black.
No.
BBC.
Big fat black. Yes.
No, but you need to quit talking
because
you're
hurting me.
I'm
going
to call
911.
No, you
got to
get in the car.
No, I'm going to 911. You're stealing me.
I'm not. I'm trying to put you in the car.
No.
No, in my car.
It's touching my. Grabbing all of my.
This lady's abusing me.
Hey, 911.
Now, when I see something like that, I think of the phrase in vino veritas, which means when you are drunk, you're telling the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Out of wine comes truth. If you are somehow altered by medication and your thoughts are that you're being choked by what she mentions she's being choked by, and that her family is stealing her and she's screaming out for 911, don't you think there might be issues in that household?
Maybe a little problematic.
Yeah, past the fact that they tape that and post it.
I know.
Oh,
and
no.
Crazy now. Hey,
I don't know.
What time did they arrive back in Deal, Maryland? Deal.
Be the town.
No, Mike, you know in Deal, Maryland, they don't do any dental work.
Where are you from? Deal.
Deal. There's a comedian. His name is Mike Dice. Dice. And he did a man on the street survey about one of the most famous people in America, if not the world, Joe Biden. Everyone knows Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States for the last 8 years. What about Joe Biden?
Who is Joe Biden?
The somebody for San Diego.
Who is the vice president right now under Obama?
Oh, probably, oh my gosh, Hillary? I don't know. No, she's running for, I don't know.
No. Who is Joe Biden?
Joe Biden. I thought he was someone in office. Who cares? I don't know.
Oh, okay, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come
Let's
on.
Get stoned, huh? I guess, yeah.
Okay. What position is he in right now?
I have no clue.
Joe Biden's job. What does Joe Biden do for a job?
I have no clue.
No. I keep hearing about this Joe Biden guy.
I have no idea about Joe Biden. Who is he?
That's the question I'm asking you.
I have no idea.
Race car driver?
No.
And then all of them, Mike, all of them ate fried Jell-O because none of them knew who Joe Biden was. And they looked like relatively bright people,
oh, yeah.
but they just don't know who Joe Biden is. So that's one reason to think.
Sad. That is sad.
Very sad. Do you remember about a year ago, it was the Summertime Festival Tour, and the Smash Mouth lead singer went crazy and started screaming at people in the audience.
Did he want to fight?
Wanted to pick fights with people in the audience.
Right.
Well, this weekend he was at some sort of Illinois festival, and he fell ill during the show, the lead singer. He's okay.
This guy's a train wreck.
But
Jesus.
He's okay. But what happens when your lead singer falls ill halfway through the show? The band, they are at a point now, they just played and let the audience sing. They did their set without their lead singer, and the audience seemed to really enjoy it. So if you go see Smash Mouth, you're going to see at least 4/5 of the band.
That is nuts.
Yeah, they just played the rest of their set.
Hate
that
each other.
That seems to me to be a band that's kind of accepted the fact that their lead singer is a bit of a problem child.
I would think so. Jimmy Kimmel did something pretty brilliant. He said food servers out there, and obviously one of the hardest jobs out there being a waiter or a waitress, any sort of person in food service, what do you have to deal with that you hate? What do people do that drive you crazy? And he put together a video montage, what servers hate, from the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
But I
hate about being a server is when parents order food for their 13-year-old kid who is completely capable but is just too busy being on their cell phone. You're raising an idiot.
What I hate about being a waiter is the extra side of ranch, and don't forget the extra side of ranch.
For anyone who doesn't know, guacamole is a dollar extra.
What I hate about waiting tables is when you ask people if they want bacon or sausage, and they respond with bacon because they can't have pork. That really happens a lot.
What I hate about serving is when people come in with dietary restrictions and expect me to know everything about it. Lady, I'm wearing a flowered shirt. Do I look like I'm a dietitian, doctor, or nutritionist?
I hate when customers make a big, huge deal about their gluten allergy and change everything on the menu, but then for dessert, they order a piece of cake and say, oh, well, I can have a little bit of gluten.
You're not really allergic to gluten. You're just obnoxious.
You know, about 50-50. You know, having been in the racket,
yeah,
about 50-50 were servers that I actually would say, hey, that'd be fun to have you on my staff.
Right.
And then the other ones that are just like, yeah, hey, when they come in and do that, like that. I told you the story about having my joint one time, and the only thing I cared about was the greeting.
Right.
Hi, my name is so-and-so. Welcome to O'Mara's. I'll be your server this evening. What can I start you out with?
Right.
And I had it, like, on the door.
So they had to memorize it.
Huge you just look at it.
Right.
It's there. It's a simple little greeting. And also no chewing gum. And then I think I brought my nephew down, and we were sitting down. It was a Friday night. We sat down to dinner. And the waitress comes out, and she's chewing gum. She goes, how you guys doing? One of my high points. Should have known at that point. Run for my life.
Feel pretty good about yourself there. And let's close with this. Her name is Ariel Winter. You might not know her by that name, but she plays Alex Dunphy, the middle child on Modern Family, the very smart daughter.
Okay.
And she's been posting a lot of sexy posed stuff on all of her social media.
This is not the oldest one. This is the middle child.
The very smart one.
Who's
between the two
parents.
Stupid. Yes, exactly. In real life.
Met her at the old Edge studio and did an interview with her.
Nice.
And she says, Mike, quit talking about her butt.
Everybody's like so hyped up on the fact that like I post photos where my butt's out. It's a butt. Everyone has a butt. You know, I don't think it's crazy. I get so confused as to why people make it such a big deal. It's like, let me live. I'm enjoying my life. You're enjoying your life. You should be posting your butt if you like it too. I'm not gonna fight with someone on my Instagram that like tells me they don't like my outfit or I should put my butt away. Okay, I'm sorry that you think I should put my butt away, but just unfollow me.
Mike O'Mara, put your butt away.
Put your butt away.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
She was such a sweet little girl when I interviewed her.
Did she not put her butt away when she met you?
We didn't even discuss her butt. Her mother was in the studio. Anyway, that's it. I believe her mother was in the studio. The mother that would get sued by that handful. Anyway, thanks for joining us for another episode.
You're a handful.
You're a handful. You'll go on to sue your mother and talk about your butt. Be sure to join us every day on the air online. At MikeOMaraShow.com. To mail us anything that doesn't stick or tick, our address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. All messages and birthday requests for our weekly mailbag segment can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. And remember, the show is all about you. Thanks for your continuing passion and support of all things TMOS. And please continue to spread the word about our show all over the world. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Safe home, Gene Wilder. Yes. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.